Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I didn't know if you were talking to them.
I'm looking right at you, Karen.
We look at each other.
Jeez. Hi, everyone.
Hey, guys. welcome back to Unsolicited Advice.
Mm-hmm.
We're so freaking pumped for this episode.
We're very excited. This has been a long time coming.
So long.
Actually.
Well, I don't know if they know how long, but like in our minds,
this has been a long time coming. This kind of feels like full circle back to our first episode. We were like, oh my God, this is a podcast. We're doing a podcast.
I do feel like a little bit like jittery, like butterflies, like
excited. Starting something new. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everyone's like, what's happening?
Yeah. They're getting upset. I'm sorry.
Well, guys, you can't see unless you're watching YouTube. Oh my gosh. I haven't uploaded yet. Shoot, I called myself out last episode.
Oh,
okay.
Everyone anyways. Go shame Taryn.
No.
At Taryn Renee.
No. I'm going to work on it tonight. So we have been talking about having a guest on our show for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of like would go back and forth with like what we wanted it to look like. And we finally were like, dude, we have like amazing people in our lives that are all just like killing it in different areas and have beautiful hearts. So we actually, I'm gonna let you introduce because, you know, why are you laughing?
I don't.
I feel like I'm
watching
like,
you right now.
I'm setting up the pitch for you to hit it.
Got
I'm
it.
I'm throwing
you're
you the
pitching.
Pitch. I'm pitching.
I'm batter. Hey, batter, yeah, batter.
Hit the ball.
That analogy. Wow. Yeah. Basically, Taryn and I have decided that we are going to officially start having guests on for the foreseeable future monthly. So you're not going to lose out on this, you know, fantastic Ashley Taryn dynamic. That's
don't
not
you worry.
Going anywhere. Don't you worry about that. So that is still a thing. But once a month, we want to start having guests on that maybe have had a great experience, maybe are educated in a specific field that we could use help with. And they're going to discuss their life with us and also like help answer questions that you guys have been sending us, because maybe it would be good to have a fresh perspective.
I mean,
on the podcast, you know,
yes,
not like we're not killing it.
I mean,
I feel like we're killing it.
Yeah.
Taryn's sitting here going, nah.
I feel like we should introduce her so she can speak.
She's just so quiet over here.
I keep hearing her just silently like,
oh my God, this is so funny.
Behind me.
Basically, our first guest is my friend and Taryn's friend, Lexi, and her full name. Lexi Donato. She is a working curve model and entrepreneur and is beginning a brand new era where size does not matter.
Oh, I got chills.
I know. She basically, you guys, and then we'll let her talk.
We're like, we're just going to talk for you, but thank you for coming.
I swear she's here. She basically started a swimwear company from the ground up that believes in numberless sizing, and in the place of numbers are goddess names, which is the first
so freaking
time
cool.
I've ever heard of anyone doing something like this ever.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible and I think it's inspiring. And she's here to share about it today.
So,
and I'm so excited.
Welcome, Lexi.
Welcome,
guys.
Lexi. Hello.
I am here.
Ooh. You have a
waiting.
Great podcast
Ooh,
voice.
Thank you.
I can tell
I've
already.
I've actually always thought that about you. Like, it's very like soothing and sensual, your
Ooh.
Voice. So like when you're telling me stories, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's always been that way. But then especially when you get a cold, it's like,
oh, I bet
it's like it's very sultry.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. The little rasp.
Yeah.
Little rasp. I wish I had a little cold now just so
I know.
That.
Just to really emphasize
yeah,
that.
Amplify it.
For sure.
Well, I have been waiting. Well, I mean, this opportunity is insane. Thank you, guys.
Stop.
I have been
Are
listening
you
to Unsolicited Advice since conception.
Yeah,
oh,
so
that's true.
Thank you guys for having me on.
That's
oh my
true.
God, of course. I'm sure no one knows this, but Lex and I have been friends for a while now. So she has been there throughout the entire, like, I want to start a podcast, but
yeah.
I don't know what to do yet. She was there at the group meeting when we were talking about, like, our year goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
I want to start a podcast.
That.
And I said it to, like, a group of friends. And that was me, like, I'm saying it. I have to do it now. And
Manifest.
She was there.
Yeah.
I know. Full circle.
I know.
And now
well,
she's on it.
We want, you know, our listeners to get to know you a little bit. So I'm going to do some icebreaker questions.
Ooh, let's do it.
You know, to loosen you up. And then you can just kind of tell us about yourself because okay. I think it's fascinating what you do. So first one, we can all answer these too.
I'm so excited. Okay. I live for icebreaker questions.
What was something that was in your high school locker? Go.
Ooh.
Oh.
You can jump into it.
Okay. Mirror.
I didn't know we were timed on this.
I don't know.
I had a shelf.
I had a shelf too.
Like wire shelf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think what I was lame. I was just like super basic, but probably notebooks that were like not filled out at all. Like I probably just had, like I was not really a note taker.
Just the blank one.
Yeah, that's such a good notebook. Point. I had a class. I had like a shelf, a mirror, a magnet.
Yeah. I definitely
with,
had
one
like the magnet
inside.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, totally. I will say this. I didn't even use my locker because it was so far away from all my classes. So I just kept everything in my backpack.
Oh my gosh.
And I think that kind of like led to some back problems. So
honestly, because that's a lot of books.
We should sue. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, some of the I was watching this little boy walking home from school the other day, uh-huh. and I almost got out and was like, bro, can I help you carry that? Like this bag was like two times his body size. Aww. And he was like slightly leaning back. And yeah. I was like, oh, honey.
That's dangerous.
Okay. What is the scariest thing you've ever done for fun?
Oh. Well, I will say one time my friends and I after church we snuck onto the Golden Globes red carpet.
What?
And we were right behind Leonardo DiCaprio on one of his like most famous kind of red carpet talks. And it was replayed in all these commercials for the Golden Globes. And we were just randomly in the background in just like regular attire. And then we got kicked out, of course, because we weren't in, you know,
that would have
a ball gown.
I could
That's
not.
Crazy.
Well, this is what were you wearing?
Jeans and, you know, blouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we
kind of
stuck out.
Bit.
Yeah. But we made it so far. It was insane.
Well, it's like everyone always says, wow. If you just keep your head high and walk confidently, mm-hmm. like people won't bother you. The only thing that would give you away is your Golden Globes. So everyone's like completely dressed up and you're not.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Dang, that's cocky. I don't think I could do it. I think I'd sweat profusely.
Yeah, I'm usually not the person that would do something like that because I'm such a rule follower.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Oh, what's your Enneagram?
9.
Oh, you guys
She's
are
a
I actually, yeah, I think I would guess that.
Yeah, I think that's why we clicked right off the bat. I was like.
It's so true.
Same? Same.
Yeah. And our first friend date, it was the easiest.
I could only imagine.
I think we both left being like, oh yeah, we're going to be friends for a long time.
We like sat down and talked and I remember being like, this feels like a really great first date. Yeah. Like this feels really
was
great.
Just so chill.
It was nice.
Yeah. No drama, just like chill
so
conversation.
Relaxed. We just had like some skinny margaritas and tacos and we were just the
that
happiest.
We also had the same taste in food. Like we ordered the same
that's
exact
good.
Thing.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good super sign. Good. What is a childish thing that you still do as an adult? I know mine. I still, like, when I feel attacked, I, like, mimic what the person said to me, and it's so annoying. Or, like, when someone's like, you're being so immature, I'm like, you're immature. You know, like, I can't, it's just a...
I'm, like, thinking back, I'm like, you for sure
done
that to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I always do. And it doesn't even have to make sense. They can be like... You need to slow down. And I'll be like, you're a slow down. Like, it doesn't make sense. But I always win every argument because how can you combat that?
You can't.
You can't.
Because it's immature.
And annoying. And I accept it.
I am a full on. I will for sure give someone the quiet treatment if I'm upset.
Yeah.
100%. And it doesn't mean I'm upset at them. Or I could be like upset at something else. But I will just like not talk. To anyone, and it's not helpful.
Yeah,
and I'm aware of that, but I can't stop.
I think it's, we're all aware of that.
I think just it's kidding. Because you need to internalize it,
and
think it through, and you can't properly.
The more I dive into the Enneagram, the more I realize I need that thinking time to figure out exactly what's happening.
Whereas
within
I
me.
Should use thinking time because I'm just like blah blah blah, blah and everyone's like, okay, wow, you just shared so much
so
more than
much
you need
information.
To do.
That's so funny because my mom's a two. She does the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
What about you? Childish thing.
You know what comes to my mind first is I recently started playing Candy Crush again. And I played it as a kid. And I never realized this, but as soon as you click onto the app, it says something about like, it's your time to relieve stress. And I've been going to that when I'm stressed and I'll just do it. And it gets my mind off everything.
That's so funny. Yeah. You know what's interesting? I played that during school. Like, in college.
Yeah.
I played it before bed.
My personal one, I think I've talked about it on here, is this coloring app. And Ashley always will make fun of me. She'll be like, are you coloring? And I'm like, yes.
Because we'll be watching like a dope movie or like what something that, and this is just, this is her thing and this is mine. And I'm very like, I don't want to talk. I don't want my phone. I want to focus in the movie. And she'll be there coloring.
Yeah.
But she loves it.
So I'm not even joking. I'm going to like post a link.
Yeah, what is the app? Because I'm curious.
I can't remember what it's called. I'm going to look it up.
It's like a coloring book.
It basically is like you zoom in and so you'll click the color and it's a number and then you have to like click everything that's that number. So it's so completely mindless, but it's so satisfactory when you like finish and then it shows you like your masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's called Happy Color and I'm a Ooh, big fan. Happy Color.
I honestly feel like between that and Candy Crush, that these things are like are so good for your mental health.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Because it is something that's very mindless, but it sometimes takes a thing like that to train you.
Completely.
I totally get agree. Out of your own head sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's why I think I played Candy Crush before bed. Because it was just, I didn't really try. Also, I think they have like a bedtime setting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where it's like a little easier and the music's chill. I remember finding
I didn't
that.
I know that. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. There was an owl involved.
Last question. What was the most embarrassing thing you have done while on a date?
Card got declined.
Oh, gosh. That's the worst.
First of all, why are you paying?
Well, it was a group.
What good? First of all.
The nail. Great point. Second of all. There was a group of us, and I think we were all doing our part. And I remember just being like, head down. It was one of those
it was a group.
There was a group.
So she came back and was like, Ashley,
to us and his friends.
No.
Not my friends, his friends.
Oh,
and we
that's
had walked somewhere,
rough.
So I had brought my card and my ID, and that was it.
That's rough.
And I didn't
dude.
Bring like a backup card or anything.
Yeah, that's rough.
It's happened. It's happened to all of us at some point, but
yeah,
on a date,
do, you know?
It sucks.
What are you gonna do? What about you?
I'm trying to think.
I know that's. I'm sure I've done something humiliating, but I can't think of one right now.
I did something awful this last week. Literally, gibberish came out of my mouth. I'm not actually dyslexic, but sometimes I really am. I'm like, maybe I am. I literally switched. I said two words. I switched the words and I jumbled the words.
Oh,
and literally absolute gibberish came out. And I sat there and we both looked shocked. And I was like, I'm going to do that
sorry.
Again. I'm going to try
had
again.
A stroke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one time someone told me that, and this was a guy, told me that they kind of like it when girls like mess up or like kind of are embarrassed or don't speak properly because it makes them feel like more masculine.
Oh.
And I'll say this because this kind of attributes to like embarrassing date, but it was before the date when the guy was asking me out. I was serving, and you guys both know about this guy.
Uh-huh.
And I was so nervous serving him at the restaurant that I like sounded like an idiot, but then he liked it. He asked me out and you know,
maybe because it's
interesting.
So, maybe because it makes it clear that you're nervous.
Oh,
like he likes.
Like I definitely like
you
because
nervous.
I can't compose myself around you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe that's what it is.
Huh. Yeah, huh. Interesting. Well, now that we know you a little bit better, would you want to just give us like your bullet list? Like, who are you? What do you feel, or what would you like to offer as like a definition of who Lexi is?
Ooh,
the floor is mine.
The floor is yours.
The mic is yours.
Yes, my name is Lexi. I am originally from Pennsylvania.
Right.
I've lived out in California, Los Angeles, 9 years now, which is crazy because it's almost a decade.
That's so long. I always forget you've been here so much longer than me.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Did you come by yourself?
Uh-huh. I came out here for college originally.
Can we talk about like the balls it takes to move across the country?
I can't imagine. Yeah. I went 10 minutes from my parents' house and I still went to their house all the time.
Oh my gosh. I will say it's a little bit easier though when you're going to college because everyone is trying to make friends.
Right.
That's true.
Whereas
that's true.
if I were to go to a new city like me to Chicago right now, I think it would be a lot harder because not everyone is trying to make new friends at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, as soon as I landed in California, I was like, this is where I'm spending the rest of my life. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I love that.
Cool. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't think, because Pennsylvania is so opposite.
Oh, it's
in every way, not just weather, but just like opposite. So it's really cool that people, you can find like your place outside of like your norm, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's what appeals to people, something being completely different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I really liked about California. It was like, there's a new land to venture through.
Yeah.
And
fresh
new,
start.
New type of people too. It kind of was a culture shock landing here because
I would think so.
I had to learn a new culture and different type of people. Mm-hmm. Just different pace. So
Totally.
But yeah.
Okay. So you land, you come from Pennsylvania, you go to college. What did you major in? Where did you go after that?
I majored in business marketing. Right after that, I worked for McDonald's Corporation. I was doing HR and communications. They have a regional office in Long Beach. Beyond that, I was a publicist. And then after I did PR, I launched LDLA at the same time I got signed with a modeling agency. So I've been a curve model for 2 years now.
Oh my gosh.
And it's been so fun. I've been working with Fabletics and Lands' End and just some really cool, fun clients that I never thought, you know, growing up that I'd have the opportunity to just be a part of their campaigns, be kind of like the face of their brand for any of it. And it's like, it's cool, especially when I go back to like the small town girl that I grew up as.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I don't know, kind of like gives me a little butterflies.
Was it really weird going from having been in HR and having been in being a publicist and working with brands and companies like on the other side? And then now you kind of fully flipped.
Yeah.
And now you're on the other side of that conversation, I guess. Is that weird for you? Or do you think it's actually kind of helpful knowing what they're probably thinking or planning?
Oh, it was definitely helpful because now, because I when I was in PR, I would know what a client was looking for. And then now being on the talent side, I try to be what the client is looking for.
Yeah.
But honestly, like I go in there as I am. So if a client doesn't want me for their job or, you know, for me to model for them, I try not to take it personally because they're already looking for a type of girl, a type of look.
Yeah.
And I'm either that person or I'm not.
Yeah.
And I don't try to change myself to be that.
Right. There's some wiggle room for like, oh, I can do this or I can do that and make little changes. But overall, it's like, no, this is who.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
That's
love that.
So it's so cool because it's almost like, and you can relate to this too because you were a waitress or do you still do some stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's like when you are on that side of it and you kind of learn how it is and you learn how it feels when people are rude to you or that like their food is really late because the chef didn't cook it, like you're not cooking it yourself, things like that. It kind of changes the way that when you go into a restaurant, you perceive the people, you treat the people. And even like what you're saying, like you saw the inside of a company. So, you know, I'm not going to take it personally because it's not about me. It's about their campaign. And literally that's what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So I think that's such a valuable thing for people to hear because I think sometimes we go into things and our first instinct is to take it personally, but to really research, oh, there's probably so much more going on and I can't take this personally because, you know, like it's a business and there's things going on outside of my control.
And that was especially powerful too when I was working in HR. And at the time, a lot of my friends were looking for jobs because they were newly, you know, recent grads.
Yeah.
And there's so many factors that play into things too, where in HR, there might be a job posted, but sometimes they have to like legally or according to their kind of regulations have to post it, but it might already be fulfilled in the back end. But these candidates that are applying to them to these jobs don't necessarily know that.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're like, why didn't I get a call back? Or like, why didn't I get an interview? And it's not you. It's just because they already, already have the position filled and maybe it was filled from within the company.
Yeah, it's got to be so
frustrating. So there's so many factors that happen. And I think just ultimately, no matter what industry you're in, it's so good to have a broad perspective of things and look at things from every angle.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Because a lot of times we are so narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. And that's what most of the time gets us discouraged is being so narrow-minded. And once we broaden that perspective, we understand things a lot better.
Yeah, because yeah, like totally just being told no or realizing you didn't get the gig or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I'm the type of person, I know most people are, where you automatically insert what you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you know with like without any doubt whatsoever that that is what caused you to lose
yeah.
it. And you don't even, I don't even second guess that.
Yeah.
Which can be terrifying.
Well, that's like, I think I shared on here when I tried out for American Idol and one of the girls I was talking to said she auditioned and she had a gorgeous voice. And the person auditioning her, because the first round is all just producers, was like, oh, we already have a brunette for this season or something. Mm-hmm. So it was literally nothing, down to yeah. hair color. But these people go and it's their dream. And then they leave thinking like, I'm not talented. And so it's like, you know that there's so many times people are affected by that when it's like, oh, honey, like it is not even about you. Yeah. You could be Beyonce. And yeah. like, yeah. you know what yeah. I mean?
In the end, like, especially yeah. for American Idol, in the end, this is a show.
Oh, and totally.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting.
And to look at it too, like imagine how far you came. That yeah. that in and of itself shows that you have talent. Mm-hmm. And that I feel like is a validating factor.
Yeah. Oh mm-hmm. no, totally.
100%.
Well, I would love to dive deeper into your company
yeah. mm-hmm.
and then your experiences with modeling. So let's take a quick break yes. and when we come back, we will learn more about our first freaking guest. I also have to pee, so BRB.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi. We're all waiting. I feel like every time we come back from a break, it's always so awkward. But yes, if you guys, really quickly, if you guys are not following us on our socials.
Do it.
We have a YouTube. We have a Twitter. We have Instagram. We have... Is that all of
Facebook?
That? Facebook. We yeah. have Facebook as well. So definitely do that. And what?
An email.
Oh, well.
Address.
You can email us also. So please send those in. I really quickly wanted to say, Taryn and I go through your emails weekly, obviously, just to keep yes. up with the podcast.
As much as we can.
But then we also go through the DMs. We get a lot of comments from you guys. On there. We also get stories on Facebook. Uh-huh. And Taryn and I had this realization, I think in December, when we were really trying to think about bringing on guests. And we were like, what are some of the emails that we get the most of? And we cannot express to you how many emails we get weekly from mostly women, but some men on mm-hmm. just body image and yeah. how they are affected by it positively, negatively, how they're feeling inadequate in relationships and in families, yeah. at school, at work. They feel like they're lacking a lot of like body dysmorphia stories. Yeah. And it's honestly, it's been really heartbreaking.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking. And I think another one is a lot of times we're sent stuff about like, how do I become confident? How do I love myself?
Yeah.
And a lot of times a factor that is tied to that which we always talk about, like those things that we define ourselves or whatever, is weight and how I view my body. And if I lost weight, then I'd be confident, or I can't love myself because of how I look. And so it's something, I mean, we both struggle with, like, to this day.
I think everyone does to a degree.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
But like Ash said, we were like, okay, well, let's kind of tackle this. And so later, which I'm excited for you, Lex, because we're going to actually read a story and you get to kind of, you know, be one of us. Advice givers. But I think right now we want to just go into who you are and stuff about you, which is why we chose you for this topic. That is, it's a rough one, and it's a very like prevalent one. So like Ash was saying, what we get. But we both were like talking about it, and I just remember Ash was like, oh my gosh, what about Lex? And I was like, ah, perfect.
The second we had the idea, I was like, well, that's happening. That's a for sure thing. So yeah, what basically we would really love to talk about is the concept behind your swim line. Yeah. I think it's incredible, and I think it's inspired, and I think a lot more people need to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely. And we will definitely have links to her stuff in our Instagram.
To everything.
But go ahead and shout out like any socials so people can check you out, girl.
Yeah. So I own LDLA, also known as LD Los Angeles. And that's kind of the handle you can find us at. So at LD Los Angeles, and our website's ldlosangeles.com. And it's it was founded as a swimwear line. Now we've tapped into the lifestyle space, but it's to encourage and inspire women to a more confident lifestyle. And we were based off of having numberless sizing, eco-friendly material, and an imprint on each swimwear piece that says wonderfully made. The overall message is you're not defined by your size, but you are a goddess, you're a radiant, you're beautiful, you're worthy. No matter what you look like and how you feel, you just are that. And so really, I just wanted to create that space for women to come to and be inspired. A lot of our social is those inspirational posts, and that your daydreams can become a reality, and that you can live a confident lifestyle. And really, a confident lifestyle is, it's an everyday journey. You're not just gonna, some days you're gonna wake up and not feel confident, but it's trying every day.
Yeah.
And like fighting for yourself. Yeah. Like that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. So that's a little brief on LDLA. And it's been such a rewarding journey. Just I get a lot of feedback from people where they're like, I felt so bad about myself today. And then I came across your brand and it redefined how I feel about myself. Yeah. And that's ultimately why I created the brand is, I mean, I grew up like every other girl who sometimes when you go to the beach, well, most of the times when you go to the beach, you're not feeling confident. And I quote unquote, like struggled with my weight my whole life. And I think that defined how I felt as a kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't want people to feel the way I felt in that, like, when did we become just bodies and not like human beings? Everything, I think our generation growing up, it was always about your body, your body, your body, and not just who you are as a human being.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. And I feel like most people, I mean, I love summer, but there is a certain amount of anxiety that comes with summer because it's short denim shorts, it's short skirts, it's bikinis, and that there is so much stress and emotions that come with that, even though it's one of my favorite seasons. Mm-hmm. Just wanting to go dive in the water, but feeling like I have to walk from my towel to the water and everyone's gonna see me, you know? So there is there's this huge pressure that comes, especially if you're in like an unhealthy state with how you feel about your body. I will attest, I have like 3 of her swimsuits and they are fantastic, and they hold you in all the right places and they're absolutely flattering, and I've worn them to, I don't know, multiple countries now. And I get compliments all the time. I've posted them. I'll definitely post another story about it. But I would love to hear like how you came up with the numberless sizing.
It was one of those things that just came to me one day. And I wasn't necessarily searching for a differentiator for the brand, because I knew that the brand would be something that was true to myself. And really what the brand has become it's been like personified as who I am as a person.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it just came to me one day and I just knew like, okay, that's what I'm going to do.
It's incredible.
And then everything kind of flowed through that. Yeah.
I've never heard of any other company doing something like this. Mm-hmm. I'm so curious to see if that becomes a thing now and people start switching it up. I think it's a great like testament to the overall mission that is your brand. Mm-hmm. But what did you automatically come up with goddess names, or did that come a little later?
It's so hard to recall now. I think I'm pretty sure I was, I don't know.
Like, because you could,
I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it was one of those things when I was creating the brand, things just started falling into place.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew that the brand was so on purpose for my life.
Yeah.
And even just the manufacturer, the mission of the brand, the elements of the brand.
Yeah.
And this was one of those elements that kind of just fell into place. So I feel like it was just something that it just came up one day and I went with it. I can't recall like an exact moment where it's like, oh, I want to do numberless sizing. What can I call it?
Yeah.
I think it always was just like that concept. And that's what I ran with. But as I was developing it, I really realized the power in it, because growing up, when I would go to the store and I would be a size like 12 or 14, I would hide the size as I was going into the fitting room.
Yeah.
Because I was so ashamed of the size.
Yeah.
And that shame just like repeated in my head when I was shopping online, and it would, you know, get to my doorstep, or the next time I would go out, or if the group of friends were talking about their size, I would never say it because I don't want to be the 12, the 14.
Yeah. Did you used to cut off the tags?
Yeah.
100% would cut off the tags. Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was associated with so much hurt in my life.
Yeah.
Same.
And I think it was society that kind of created that persona of size and number. And like the fact that even just like small, medium, large, extra large, extra, extra large, like those words, like large, that can be so hurtful.
Yeah.
Like even I look at someone today and they might be a size large in quotes. I don't see them like being large at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At all.
God, especially some of the companies out there now. I'm like all trying a large and I'm like, I can't fit it over my bicep.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And sizes are not universal either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'll go to one brand and you'll be maybe like a medium in that brand. But another brand, you might be an extra large. Another brand, you might be an extra small.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy how that can affect you mentally.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know that was growing up, because I've struggled with weight since I was younger too. And I remember like when there'd be a specific number of like pant and I would try it on thinking that was my size and it would be too small. Mm-hmm. And I would be like crying in the dressing room because I'm like, did I get bigger? Like what's going on? Like, oh, I don't want anyone to know this is my size. When in reality, like you said, like every piece of clothing is like different. And in some pants, I might be this size. In some pants, I might be a different. But the fact that that little number had that effect on me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Is why I think I fell so in love with like what you stand for. Because I think there are certain things in our lives that we need to like stop giving power to it.
Yeah.
Like we need to just take it back and be like, I am not defined by this number. I am not defined by these little letters on my clothes. So if that means I need to cut it off, so I'm telling myself like, you're not a size. Like this is just a piece of clothing that you love. Like I think that's so – it's amazing to see your company and what you stand for, and then also to watch – the people that have like grabbed a hold of it and fallen in love with it, because we all have that desire to like just feel beautiful. Like it sounds so simple, but it's such a complex thing, you know?
It's so true. And you, I mean, you girls can probably sympathize with this. Have you ever, or have experience with this? Have you ever been to a store and like you'd have to size up in something and that's what actually fit you, but you didn't buy it because it's that size up?
Yep. Yeah. And I've also broken down multiple times in changing rooms because the jeans I thought were my size didn't fit me.
And it's not you. It's just how they do their size fittings.
Yeah.
And even within the same brand. So I recently fell in love with Abercrombie & Fitch jeans. Mm-hmm. They used to have a lot of controversy around them with, you know, I guess like
they did. There was a huge
There was a lot of controversy over them, like not being body positive and only wanting, you know, super skinny models. But since then, they've done a substantial rebrand. And I think some new people were put into power there that actually do believe in that mission.
Good.
And they've now have curve models. But even this last season, they had two different jeans. One was a vintage jean and one was a vintage slight stretch jean. When the same size, one didn't even fit up my thighs and the other one was big in the same size. So even within the same brands, because of the material of the jeans, it can really be a determinant of, you know,
how
size and how
you.
It fits.
Yeah.
And it's really like, it should be considered fit rather than size.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know? Yeah.
And it's just so, I mean, I can vividly remember one moment. It was for our choir dress that he was yelling out for us to yell out our size. And I was mortified. And another one was in cheer. And I look back and I'm like, you were so tiny, like in high school, like compared to like what in my mind I thought I looked like. But I remember, like, I had a big backside. So, like, in shorts, I always had to get a large. Mm-hmm. But nobody else on my team had to get a large. And I remember them doing those things where they'd call out, okay, Taryn, like, what size for your shorts? And I was always, like, mortified. But I knew if I didn't get a large, like, I wouldn't be able to fit into them. So it's, like, even down to a young age, you become aware of those categories that you put yourself in. And it's, like, I just wish, like, I hope that this takes off and like reaches into
Me
other
too.
Companies because I just think like I think back to then and I wish I could just walk in the room and like hug little me and just be like, babe, you're fine. Like,
yeah,
it's a piece of cloth. Like, this is going to make you feel better to wear this size. Like, who cares, you know? But it's like I can still just remember that like heartbreaking feeling and going home and being like so embarrassed and ashamed of myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how old are you? Seventh grade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just it's so sad that I think and like you said, I think it affects men, too, in a different way. But especially as young girls with what we see in magazines and what are like comparison things we see, it's just so sad.
It's really tragic. I do like I would love to know why swim specifically, like, because I mean obviously you could do this concept with dresses, with shorts, with shirts, it could be anything. And I feel like swim is such a very vulnerable type of clothing line, so I would love to know what drew you to swim specifically.
There, it's a twofold answer. So like the first thing was when I was a publicist, I went to a swimwear runway show. And during that show, something just like hit me so hard that was like, Lex, you need to do this. And the show was all sample size models. And I think I was just like off put a little bit being like, why isn't everyone represented?
Yeah.
Because I'm
sure you weren't the only one feeling that.
More than 60% of the U.S., and there's an actual number, but is size 14 or larger, and that's considered plus size. So most women are plus size in the United States.
Yeah.
Like more than
50%. And that's not in the sample size?
And that's never represented.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even in shows like The Bachelor, and I have ranted and raved.
Yeah. They've never had a plus girl.
No. Uh-uh. And this is my thing. And I get heated when I talk
I'm
about
this.
I'm
ready for this.
Actually, I just want to throw it out there. I've had conversations with both of you guys separately on this exact topic.
Ooh, girl,
and it's really
my
funny.
My Twitter went off one day because I was so mad. Because this is the premise of this freaking show, which is one of my guilty pleasures. I love watching it. But the premise of this show is that they're bringing a person on and they are going to give them this like this spread of women that could potentially be the perfect woman for them. Mm-hmm. And so for girls who are sitting and watching this show, out of every single woman that walks out, none is like bigger than my freaking pinky. And you're telling me that in order for me to be a candidate to be someone's perfect woman, I have to look like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about like them needing like, you know, a, I don't know, even down to just curvy.
Yeah.
It, there's nothing.
Yeah.
And it really, really bothers me that, you know, if they were to put women on there and then it's the guy's choice who he's going to choose, like that I understand. Mm-hmm. If he chose someone that's not his preference, whatever, his power. But the fact that they're not even putting someone as an option just literally makes fire burn within.
Especially when they're selling
blood.
Perfect love. Like exactly. Love.
Mm-hmm. These perfect
women.
That's
how they're wrapping it up.
This is, here is your choice that we are confident you will find a wife.
Yeah.
But not one person is over a size, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it just, it. Mm.
And then according to the statistic, whatever that number is, we can find out and proof that to you guys later. Like that more than half of the United States is watching this show.
Yes.
And saying,
and little girls,
I could never
go on
here.
That's where it gets me the most. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like you can tell, like teenage girls and just those insecurities and things has always been a passion of mine. But I just think it just gives such an ugly message and it really, really irks me. Yeah.
I completely agree. And I had that conversation with someone about 2 weeks ago when this season came out. And even they had a girl from this season who used to struggle with her weight, but she's skinny now, go on the show.
Ugh. And that's
I'm like, why? Why?
Like stuttering.
And it was almost like she, and I feel like the story behind it was like she almost wasn't confident when she was that way.
But now,
she is.
She overcame
now,
it.
She's
and
overcame
now she's going to find her love. Like,
yeah.
This girl lost her brother when she was young. This girl used to be fat. It's like, what?
Oh, and she wasn't even fat before. She was just like a little bit curvy.
It's still,
but there's so many guys out there that like really like tiny girls, but there's so many guys that like curviness.
I know.
There's, you know, like there's, every guy has their different preference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why isn't there that genuine spread of women representing everyone?
Right. Because there's beauty in both.
Yeah.
So why can't there be both?
Yeah.
That's the whole problem.
Anyways,
we could
write
a strongly worded letter to them together.
Yeah. Y'all, everybody send this episode to everyone you know so it blows up.
At Bachelor Nation.
I want freaking Chris, whatever his face is, on
Chris,
our podcast.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Okay, so just a little bit before we get into our story, I would love for you to talk about your experience as a plus size model. Mm-hmm. You know, it amazes me some of the women that are defined as plus size models mm-hmm. that I'm like,
yeah.
Girl, I'm working my butt off trying to get to like
you.
But just your experience as a plus size model, has it been hard? Do you go into jobs or auditions and feel judged, or have you loved the experience? Just kind of break down.
Even
how
working
it's
with
been.
Other models, maybe that aren't.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yeah. The experience for me has been really great so far. So I started modeling 2 years ago, and right off the bat, I went into castings, and I think with anything that you're starting, it takes a little bit to like kind of get your wheel spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I didn't get many jobs for a couple months. And then when I got one, then the next showed up maybe a month later. And now I'm working pretty frequently with big brands, which has been super fun.
We're scrolling through Instagram or something. I was scrolling and then all of a sudden I look and I was like, is that Lexi on Fabletics? Yeah. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I know.
It was so cool.
Actually, that's
proud
a funny
moment.
Story because I was with a friend maybe a month ago and she was purchasing things off Fabletics and she knew I was like modeling for them. But as she was scrolling, then I like popped up and I was like, wait, that's me.
That's
and it was
so
really,
wild.
it was cool.
Congratulations. That's
Thanks.
So cool.
Yeah. It was.
And you look hot.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Like
stunning.
Super hot.
If you're not watching the YouTube, you don't know yet, but she's stunning.
She's stunning.
Oh,
those
you're
eyes,
so
girl.
Sweet.
I'm not even looking at Ashley the whole time. I'm just
oh my gosh,
I'm
love
cheating.
That.
Okay,
I'm
ahead.
Stealing her ash. So I've been with Fabletics 3 times for 3 different shoots now, and they're such a great company to work for. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the experience has been really great because I will meet curve models along the way and just be inspired by them. A lot of times, if you follow any curve models on Instagram or plus size model on Instagram, they just are so vulnerable. and really just embrace themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see another person who kind of you look like have that type of confidence too. And I went into the industry knowing that I either am what they're looking for or I'm not what they're looking for. And I can't take anything personally.
That's so good.
Has really helped me. And of course, like growing up, I watched America's Next Top Model. Love that show.
Great show.
That's how I learned my smize and everything.
Everyone learned their smize.
I know. Right before my first photo shoot modeling, I think I binge watched like 10 episodes because I'm like, how do I pose? Let me learn this and learn that. And you get more and more comfortable in front of the camera and during castings. But everything's just so different. Every client's so different. Every casting so different. Sometimes you'll drive to a casting, which might be 45 minutes, an hour away, and you're there for literally 2 seconds. You like get in front of the camera, hold your name in front of your body and smile. And other times they want you to interact and maybe have a script or like do a twirl or something like that. So everything's so different. And I think that's what kind of makes it fun and interesting.
Yeah.
And also it's an industry too that, you know, you might have an inquiry for a job that's next week or the next day, and everything's just ever changing. And I think I kind of wanted that in my life too, where it's just exciting. Like, I don't know what to expect. And if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it's okay. And of course I do that alongside LDLA. So it's not my only like form of income, but some people are full-time curve models and they work multiple times a week that's their life lot. And
that's awesome.
They travel a lot for it, and that's cool for them.
Hopefully I feel like that's for sure happening soon. It's just a matter of time.
Well, thank you so much for just sharing your life. I mean, I feel like everyone listening is like, oh, we get why they chose her, because you just radiate positivity, and I think that's something we both adore about you. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're actually going to read a story, and we would love for you to kind of comment with us on it. Do you have a title, or should we just?
I do have a title. This first one was sent to let me double check. I'm pretty sure I'm fine, but I don't really know how to say her first name, so I'll have you guys like help me out with that. But it's spelled J-O-S-C-I. Josie?
J-O-S-C-I?
Yeah.
Josie? Yeah, sure.
I want to say Josie because of Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
But that could be very wrong. This one is titled Too Heavy to Be Loved. And she wrote this very beautiful, detailed story, and I cannot wait to get into it and share it with
you. I love that.
Okay, we're back from our break, and we are going to dive into our story today. I decided Josie. I just felt like it would be easier, and I feel like I would eventually just switch it to Josie eventually, because... Yeah. Josie and the Pussycats. Okay, so again, the title is Too Heavy to Be Loved, and Josie writes, Hi, Ashley and Taryn.
Hello, and Lexi. She's here too.
And Lexi.
She didn't know.
She was unaware.
She was unaware.
We won't hold it against her. First off, I want to let you know that you make my Monday drives to work so much brighter. My name is Josie, and I am 28 years old. I have been with my husband for almost 10 years now. Congratulations, girl.
Wow, they got married young.
Yeah, and 10 years, that's a solid amount of time.
You can be like, let me tell you about marriage.
Yeah. We met in high school and were friends for 2 years before we became a couple. I can honestly and wholeheartedly say that he is my soulmate, which is so cute. He makes me laugh so hard, and we never get bored of each other. I trust him 100%, and he trusts me. So I know what you're thinking. What's the problem, right? When we met, we were both on the heavier side. About 4 years ago, he lost a lot of weight. He lost over 120 pounds.
Wow.
Good for him. He looks incredible. Don't get me wrong. I loved the way he looked before. But now you can tell he's so much happier, and he's happier with his health. I, on the other hand, have attempted to lose weight so many times. I have lost weight, but not nearly as much as he has. He's always reassuring me, and he loves the way I look, but sometimes it's hard to compare our size and differences. I've had family members make comments that he's going to leave me for someone else if I don't lose weight. I know he wouldn't, but those comments still hurt my feelings.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's hard not to be insecure about it. And even little things like when we eat at restaurants, the waitress asks if our checks are going to be separate, can be insulting to me, even if they didn't mean for it to come off that way. So I'm asking for advice, how to get past this and just enjoy my relationship and cancel out the judgmental whispers of others. I am finding it hard to even look at pictures of us without feeling like total crap.
Oh my God.
I do want to make it clear that I love myself on most days, LOL, she puts, but sometimes the judgment gets through and it's a little too rough to handle.
Mm.
Thank you for taking the time to read my email and any advice would help. Love you guys. Also, I've included a picture of us from one of our date nights. Josie.
Oh my God.
She's so
gorgeous.
Also,
Josie, you're
first
so
of all,
beautiful.
She's stunning. And
she's
Josie.
She's so pretty.
Should
he's
do
handsome.
Some kind of. He is, but she should do some kind of like makeup.
Oh, yeah. Her
content
makeup is flawless.
I saw that picture of her and I was like, okay, you're so talented and absolutely gorgeous. It blew my mind.
Oh, wow. They look so cute too.
They're
absolutely very sweet.
Stunning.
Big fan. I ship it.
I ship it.
We've been together for 10 years, but we ship
but
you guys.
I ship it now, so it's official.
It's official. This story just broke my heart. And I mean, we'll open it up to everyone, but I, first of all, just block the haters. Oh my God.
I cannot
the comments.
Believe her quote unquote family. I'm not even going to give them that title.
That's really upsetting.
Would say that. Like, why would you say that to someone?
I genuinely don't
first
know.
Of all, if you even had that thought, you're a horrible person. But if you actually say it out loud to the person, you're a horrible
you're
person.
A, all caps. Horrible person.
That's so mean.
Yeah, that's really, I understand the struggle to be with someone who is like, who you're comparing yourself to, like even just like being with someone that you think is just hot and you feel like you're inadequate can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But having that kind of comment to go along with it and just like boost that emotion so much more I can't imagine. I think I would, I don't know. I feel like when that kind of stuff comes your way, I've talked about this before on the podcast, but that's when you have to physically start fighting those thoughts with positive thoughts in place of it, which I know can be hard, obviously, when it's your family, the one giving it to you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's such a gift that you have such a supportive partner and that he loves you so much. And I think one thing you need to remember is guys are not complicated. They are simple human beings.
Yeah.
When they mean something or they feel something, they say it. There's not layers behind it. They're not like girls where we can say, oh, that skirt is so cute, when really we think it's ugly. Like, they don't have that layer. Most of them, I'll say most of them. So I think like that's something that I wish I would have learned in my last relationship. Like, if he looks at you and says, I love you and you're beautiful and I like you just the way you are, like, lean on that and trust that. Like, he hasn't given you a reason to not believe that. You know what I mean? So, like, not that you need that to feel confident for yourself, but if you're constantly questioning, like, is he feeling these things? Like, he's telling you no. Mm-hmm. And so you need to, like, give him that benefit of the doubt that he means what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be ultimately, you should be looking for your confidence and your self-love just like from right within you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't think that should be a determining factor, but I think that you need to like set in that fact that like he loves you and he thinks you're beautiful. And so don't question that because he's told you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect
and
sense.
And if you love yourself, that's, you know, that's all that matters, you know?
Yeah.
And so, girls, do you think that she should address her family?
Oh, heck
and
yeah.
Tell them? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
I think so. I think from what it sounds like, just off of her email, it sounds like he sounds like a great guy. Like he sounds.
Yeah.
She seems like she trusts him very much. And if that trust is true, then I think what I would do is I would really create as kind of a team with him and talk to the family, like the together. Two of you guys.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. They're in it together.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, if it is coming from his family, I think there's a big part that should be done by him.
Right. Yeah.
But I also think that you will feel that power of standing up for yourself. Like we talk about that all the time. Like when you take steps to do things, even if you know, you're like, oh, I'm gonna defend myself or I'm gonna choose to eat this because it makes me feel better, whatever it is, like it's, I think deep down we know when we're defending ourselves and when we're taking a step to love ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think for you, it might be beneficial too to be there and be like, it does not feel good when you say this, like, and it affects me deeply. And I respect and love myself enough to say, like, it needs to stop. Like, keep your comments to yourself, you know?
And if, again, if you want him to speak on your behalf, I think that's amazing. And I think he should. But I agree with Taryn. I think there's something very powerful that could be life changing for you if you do it yourself and look them in the eye and say, like, I will not tolerate being talked to like this. You know, your family, and I love you. And I want to be able to be open and vulnerable with you guys. But if this is how you're going to be, I'm drawing the line here.
Yeah.
And like, literally peace. Like, I'm done. Like, I want to keep like a healthy relationship with you guys because you're family. But if you choose to do this and like continue down this path, I have no problem walking away.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, I mean, 10 years is commitment. He's going to walk right with you too. Like, it's not, you know.
That's such a horrible. Yeah. And it's so, I mean, I feel like it's so hard. Women and men, biologically, it's so hard. Like, men can lose weight literally like that.
Men drop weight and immediately so girls fast. girls try to lose weight and they lose bra size.
Yeah.
Immediately your cup size goes down and it's just the most frustrating thing. It's like, that's the one spot I don't want it.
Like, don't compare yourself to him and his journey because
it's not the same.
We just are not made up the same. And also, I mean, if it's something that you're looking for, and I think I would love for us to talk about that balance of wanting to lose weight for the right reasons and also how to love and accept yourself where you're at in the meantime. Because I think so many times we're like, okay, I want to get healthy and I want to lose weight, and we set these goals for ourselves. And then, but all of the time in between, we are so mean and so hard on ourselves. So I would love if we talk about that, because it sounds like she's like, I'm trying, like I've tried things and it's not working. So I would definitely recommend researching what would work best for you.
Yeah.
Because there's some things that don't work for everyone. Like, being keto is not going to do the same thing for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, all of our bodies are uniquely made.
That's so, what's so frustrating about it. Is you have to find your own thing. You can't just copy someone.
Definitely, like I would, if you're looking to lose weight for a good reason, then I would say like to pursue researching what is best for your body that's healthy and is going to make a good difference and make you feel good in the meantime. But how do we avoid that?
I think it
trap
all
in the beginning, you know,
I think it all stems from like the posture of your heart too and your intentions. And you have to make sure before you start the process of maybe a weight loss journey that you love yourself first, because if you do not love yourself now, you're not going to love yourself then either, because you're going to see yourself then and be like, oh, but I need to lose this 10 more pounds.
Yeah.
And you don't even see the difference from where you started from.
Yeah.
And it's an everyday journey too. And when you go to the, you know, if you're going to a restaurant and they do ask for separate texts, it's not personal. Sometimes I come from a waitressing background. Sometimes there's so many couples that ask for separate checks. The server's probably just like, maybe they want it, so like, let me be proactive.
Yeah.
Just because they see two people sitting down.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's because they see, like a difference in a weight, so maybe they're not together.
Yeah.
But if it is affecting you in those moments, refocus your thoughts and your mind and tell yourself, I love myself and my husband loves me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And that's all.
Yeah.
But it's so important in those moments to take a step back and be like, okay, I need to kind of meditate just this mantra over myself. And that and then, you know, go from there. But with weight loss and things, it's all the positioning in the beginning.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think there's, you know, I've noticed a big difference in times where I've tried to lose weight because I want to be skinny. Mm-hmm. And then times where I've tried to get healthy. Mm-hmm. And really doing things because I've noticed like I should not be out of breath from walking up those like four stairs. You know what I mean? So it's like or, you know, saying like I think it's OK to like desire a type of look if it's for yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like you said, it's really important to think of what our motivation is.
Yeah.
And then how every step is going to fluctuate. And that's part of any journey. Like you're going to have off days. You're going to have days where you're feeling so confident and then you freaking start your period and you're like, I gained 20 pounds overnight. Like, yeah, what just happened? You know? Yeah. So I think it's important to, at the very beginning, create that foundation of self-love, like you were saying, because then it's easier to like build off right. of that.
Yeah.
And we've talked so much about self-talk and how valid that is. Mm-hmm. And those times where when I'm feeling super insecure, where even just me taking like a deep breath and being like, you are beautiful, you are worth like someone wanting to mm-hmm. love, you are worth like respect and confidence and everything that you're feeling like you're lacking, like you're worthy of it. And it's like sometimes even when we're not feeling it, just that reminder within our own mind of like, no, like I love myself and I am beautiful, even though right now my emotions are like betraying me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I remember me and my sister made a pact. This was when we first moved out from our parents' house. It was that summer after having moved out. We moved out in January. We decided we were going to get skinny. And that was the word we used. We were going to be skinny. And we started meal prepping and working out for the first time in a very unhealthy way. Taryn knows all about this because she was around for that. But
eating McDonald's in the car before I went in. Because I was like, I can't eat almonds, guys, and anymore.
I look back and I was the skinniest I've ever been. And Alicia will tell you the same thing. We were miserable. Mm. Not just in like a happiness way, because we were like very depressed, but like physically we had headaches every day.
Yep.
We our body hurt, like we were tired, and all we would just try to film one video a week, and it was a struggle because we had zero energy because we weren't doing it the right way and we were putting our bodies through hell. And for what? Like,
yeah.
I remember looking back, and every time I see those pictures, even though it's this quote unquote like skinniest I've ever been, I just remember being like, oof, that was a really rough time.
Well, and I think that's a good thing we need to bring up. And I know we all know it, but it's like sometimes we just need to hear it again. Every single freaking person deals with insecurity.
Everyone. Yeah.
And I know, like, I mean, you know, there's times where I look at you and I'm like, oh, I would love to like have her body. But then I've seen the times where you're struggling and you're like, I feel so insecure about my body and I don't want to wear shorts today.
Yeah.
And then like I grew up with my friend Nicole is like super, super skinny. And that was an insecurity for her. She's like, I have the body mm-hmm. of a 12-year-old girl. Like, yeah. I don't look like a woman. Like, she yeah. would struggle with those things. And she would say it's so hard for her because when she would say something about her body, people were so quick to be like, oh, my God.
Shut them down, you know? So fast.
So it's like we need to remember, like, it's not about a body type.
Yeah.
It is about going within and finding that confidence. Yeah. Because we can get that body and we'll still have days where we're like, ugh, but I wish, yeah. you know, I could be this. Or it's yeah. always, you can't seek after that outward stuff, because if you're not taking care of yourself inside, then it's not going to matter.
Yeah. Yeah. The little bit of advice, if you are trying to lose weight for healthy reasons, I personally started this plan through Dr. Golia. There's a book, I'll post it on our stories, and it helps you find like what works, what type of food works for your body. And I've been thriving off of it, and I'm the happiest I've ever been, and I eat like crazy. But it's because I finally realized like my body needs carbs.
Yeah.
Hands down. Yeah. But like some people yeah. don't. Like my dad took the same test and read the book. He's pure protein. Like carbs don't really work well mm-hmm. for him. He eats them, but there's some people that say zero carbs equals skinny. And that's what I always thought. And it turns out like, no, I need it. Like my body actually will start shutting down, yeah. which is what was happening before. So I think finding that healthy diet for you is super important. As far as you and your husband, if with like the restaurant situation, maybe even coming up with like a safe word to say that, to be able to tell him in that moment to let him know exactly how you're feeling if the waitress asks for separate checks, or if you're feeling glances, or if you're feeling people are whispering behind your back.
Yeah.
Use a simple safe word to let him know how you're feeling so he can like wrap his arm around you in that moment.
Yeah. Or even just saying like, hey, when waitresses do this or waiters do this, it really affects me. And like, he's like, he seems like an amazing guy. So like, I could see him even being like, you think I'm going to let my wife pay for herself? Like, not this like, hottie. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's all cute. It takes to like shut them down.
Yeah. I think like, we talk about this all the time. Like, let people know in your life, like how you need to be loved. Like if those are moments that you have, or, you know, it's specific things where you're like, I feel weird in this, like tell him like, I need you to just like hold my hand, or like if I grab your hand, like this is what it means. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, include him in stuff. That.
But honestly, the whole like guys and girls having to like be as hot as each other to be a couple, or like the same size and whatever.
It's ridiculous.
It's bull crap, because there are some really hot guys who have the ugliest like hearts and minds. And vice versa, and girls, I'm sure. So honestly, like, as long as you guys are matched on the inside and like your passions and you respect and love and care for each other, that's really like all that matters. And I know it's like a cheesy cliche thing to say, but like, seriously, like, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And Josie, you're so beautiful.
Yeah. That photo, she's so cute.
She's stunning.
You know, like those people you see and they just radiate and glow.
I'm gonna look at her again.
And girl needs so to beautiful. Start a YouTube channel for makeup. That's for sure.
No.
How did you get your eyeliner like that?
So thank you
like
for being so vulnerable with us, because that's so hard to talk about, especially over, you know, like submitting it to a podcast. But you're worthy just as you are. And
yeah, girl. Yeah. And if you need a bathing suit, go to LDLA, find out your goddess, and then just like proclaim that over your entire life. Okay.
You are a goddess.
Yeah.
From the inside out.
Actually, would you be open to sending her?
Yeah, I'll send her one.
Suit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah!
I think that could be so cool. So Josie, we'll hit you up and Lex is gonna
send you a suit.
Oh my.
You goddess, you.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm That's pumped so for her.
I'm just making her give away free things. Sorry.
And you get one. I feel like Oprah.
You get a bathing suit.
I love Oprah.
So good. Josie, thank you for being vulnerable with us. I hope that this was super helpful for you. And if you do have an update in the future on how you're doing, or if you told us the family off, we'd be very interested.
You need help telling the family off. I got you, girl.
Yeah. If you want to blame it on us, you could totally do that. But thank you again so much for sharing your story with us. And thank you, Lexi, for being our very first guest on our podcast.
Thank you.
You did a great job.
You did amazing. Do you feel good? Was this fun?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Are we good like hosts?
Oh, you guys are so good.
Like, what if people come and they're like, ugh.
I feel like I'm watching a show with you too.
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot I was even on it 1 second.
That makes me so happy.
Amazing. I freaking love this. I hope that you guys and girls, old and young, all got something from this. I think it's powerful, and I think there's so many levels you can take from it, you know, like of how to love yourself, but also to see how you can affect other people. And sometimes you need to keep your comments and opinions to yourself. And realize that like we're all struggling with something. So yeah. I think us as like a society, us as humans, like we need to get better at just like complimenting each other and taking that second to like make someone feel beautiful and loved, instead of like trying to get a laugh. So saying something mean about someone, you know what I mean? Like, it's like in Monsters, Inc. when they figured out that laughter is more powerful than screams.
Wow, I love that.
Best analogy ever given on this podcast.
Thank
for
you.
Sure.
But yeah, I love this. We love you guys. Again, hit us up on all the socials.
Yes.
Make sure you guys follow Lexi. We'll have her on our socials as well. And yeah, it's just like, I loved this.
Get your swimwear for 2020, baby.
Yes, 2020.
2020. Yeah, thanks guys again for listening.
Now, we usually awkwardly look at each other and then say bye at the same time. You ready?
Bye.
Bye.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.